Life Audio.
Welcome to Christian Natural Health with naturopathic Dr. Lauren DeVille. Christian Natural Health is the podcast on how to get and stay healthy, God's way. You'll hear topics on nutrition, exercise, sleep, avoiding toxicity, meditating on scripture, what supplements to take, stress management, defeating anxiety and worry, how to reconcile Eastern medicine approaches with Christianity, and a whole lot more. Now, here's your host, Dr. Lauren.
Welcome back to another episode of Christian Natural Health. Today, I am excited to have Jack Dell'Acqua, CEO and founder of Essentia. He has been focused on analyzing sleep for over 20 years. Of most importance to Jack is the impact of restorative sleep in terms of recovery from disease, prevention of disease, longevity, and performance. Jack has worked with some of the world's top athletes to optimize their recovery and performance. Through the years, he has worked directly with health gurus, professional athletes, and teams in the NBA, NFL, MLS, and over 25% of active NHL players on creating healthy sleep performance. Essentia's organic mattress has been recognized by several internationally renowned organizations, including the Mayo Clinic's Well Living Lab. Essentia has been named the number one foam mattress by Consumer Reports for 7 consecutive years. Now, Jack is proud to present the results of a double-blind sleep study of professional athletes, which proves that Essentia can extend the time spent in REM and deep cycle sleep by 20 to 60%. Welcome, Jack. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Lauren. I really appreciate being here. Yeah, very nice. Very cool to meet you.
Yeah. So you had this really fascinating story of how you got into the mattress business. So tell us a little bit about that. What got you into this, into sleep science in general?
Well, I guess even pre-Essentia, I've always been entrepreneurial. So having a business, being in business is something that even in the college years, I didn't have a part-time job. I had a part-time business. So that's something that kind of was ingrained in me. Sure. And I had my own design and millwork business that was going quite well. But then in 2003, I believe it was, I had my dad and I had my aunt who were both undergoing cancer treatments and reevaluating their health and their environment, right? So one of the things, and I think everyone that goes down this path of wellness, no matter what it is, whether it be sleep or anything else, it's usually something that, pivots in your life that changes that direction. For me, it was, just seeing different different health practitioners for them and learning, inquiring, researching. And that kind of, through their journey, I realized that the home environment and specifically your sleep environment, they were hypersensitive to everything, from having a lot of physical pain to having reactions to chemicals, dust in your environment, breaking out in hives. So this was something that I was observing, and in trying to see what the right sleep products, the sleep environment was, we were realizing that introducing conventional memory foams interrupted the respiratory issues. Then bringing in organic products that had dust mites or micro dust brought in other issues. So that was the phase of discovering the problems that were out there and that the solutions were not just readily available. And that what started my journey into researching the materials, understanding what makes them tick, understanding how to what's wrong with them. And I spent 3.5 years trying to develop an alternative. And when I had, honestly, I thought I would have walked away and told, someone, here you go, this is the magic sauce, and I'll go back to my life. Right. But what I did realize is that not everyone had that sense of duty and mission to bring this product available for people for their health and wellness. Yeah. A lot of the industry is interested in marketing and in just headlines. So a lot of people that wanted to take on this product, they wanted to use, because of the high cost of the materials used, they wanted to use insignificant amounts and put it into regular toxic mattresses just so they could have the marketing verbiage. So when I saw that was happening, I figured it was time for me to roll up my sleeves and actually start the whole production of it. And that's what I did. And It's been quite a journey since then.
Yeah, awesome. So mostly the big unique factor for Essentia is the fact that it's clean. You know, is that accurate? Is that the big thing, or is there more?
I would say that that was the big thing in 2006,
Okay.
because that was where my focus was. But I continued to be a student of this and learning. And I wasn't learning from the industry. I was actually learning from health practitioners. And really, by in 2008, I really had a much better understanding of the power of sleep and not just creating that clean environment, but the power of recovery and wellness that comes through sleep. And by 2009, I had issued two patents on different cores that were really effective in extending some REM sleep and deep sleep. And so understanding the stimulants that interrupt the deep sleep cycles. And so, yeah, so from when I started looking for a clean bedroom and a clean sleep environment, 2009, while our transition happened from our initial customer base were primarily maybe cancer patients who were going through their big challenges to people in remission, eventually people that wanted prevention, to eventually lifestyle. This all happens in just a few short years. But when I patented our new cores, all of a sudden it became performance, thriving, overachievers. And that's when athletes started to kick in. Now, obviously, all of these we serve today, from people who are ill to people who are hyper performing. But we, just as much as I was able to learn from people who are hypersensitive to their environment, I also learned a lot from people who are so in tune with their bodies, which are the athletes. And our evolution has, I always see it's a starting point because we don't look at the industry and just try to have a better product. We beat the industry in 2006 with our first launch. So today we just try to improve on ourselves and constantly do better. And products come a long way from what amazing things it did in 2006 to incredible performance and sleep tracking that we did in 2012 to what we are today. It's actually been incredible. And we've like you mentioned, we did a double blind study with pro athletes last year, and the numbers were insane.
And what do you attribute that to? What do you think it is about the mattress that enables people to get that much more restorative sleep?
So it's the elimination of all stimulants. So what most people don't realize in the bedroom, what is preventing you from getting deep sleep the most is your mattress. It's the product that is emitting the most toxins in the air, because they're made of high density polyurethane materials. It is the place that's a nesting ground for dust mites, bed bugs, and just your own proteins that basically dust mites are feeding off of, right? So you have an environment which is toxic, an allergen prone environment. You have an environment where most mattresses are trapping heat, so not allowing your body heat to escape, which is something else that prevents you from getting into your deep sleep cycles. And then it gets to the more common things like pressure relief and pain management. What most people go to a mattress for is when they're feeling pain, it's time to change. But there are other things that we don't realize are in our sleep environment, and eliminating those is the key to extending those deep sleep cycles.
Got it. Okay, very cool. So, and then you said you went beyond the mattress and kind of like deepening into your study of sleep and the science of sleep and what makes it optimal. So, first question is just can you give our listeners a brief overview of the concepts of sleep hygiene? I think a lot of us probably know what a lot of them are, but just to refresh our memories.
Well, I mean, I think one of the things that I like to people to focus on is their sleep environment, their sleep routine, is really be so conscious of what you're bringing into that room. Just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not affecting you. So, when we're looking at a proper sleep environment, it needs to be clean. And when I say clean, I mean toxins. It needs to be something that allows your body heat to escape. It has to be an allergen-free environment. We need to have the proper sleep routines. So going to bed at the same time. Our brains are amazing. How our brains don't need to look at a watch to know it's time to go to sleep.
Yes.
They our internal clocks have that routine down pat. So if we are keeping consistency, our body is anticipating that frequency from happening. So from noise to lighting to nutrition, not eating 3 hours before bedtime, not training and stimulating yourself through exercise too close to bedtime. These are all the things that someone should be managing in their sleep routine and trying to figure out what the best options are to respect it, because sleep is the foundation to everything.
Right.
It's the foundation. If we didn't need it, we would have developed something to avoid it and have a full 24 hours productive. But those 8 hours are probably the most productive we can be, because that is when we are, what most people don't realize is the detoxing that happens, even in our brains, you know, when we're sleeping, and it's specifically the deep sleep cycles, we're getting a glymphatic drainage. And that is when your brain is eliminating cells. It's basically cleaning up, for allowing your brain to properly store memory, to manage stress. There's so much things that happen in the brain during sleep, and that's the most powerful thing we can do within the 24-hour period to have a really effective daytime. Is really what we do at night.
Oh, absolutely. So, and kind of turning this on its head a little bit, what do you have to say about our beliefs about the quality of our sleep? How does that actually impact how we can function throughout the day, regardless of what our sleep is actually like?
Our beliefs, as well, the mind is really powerful. So the thing is, I believe that it's a mindset. So you need to put yourself in that in the thought process where sleep is important and sleep is a priority, and believing in it means that you will be doing it. Whereas there's the other way around, where people that do not believe that sleep is of importance, and they will, their brain will allow them to overcome the need for sleep, but it'll be short-lived. And it's not sustainable, because it's not actually true. So that's the part of believing something that kind of works against you on that set. But like in anything else, you want to do something well, you need to believe it. You need to accept it, embrace it, and then allow your mind to open up to prioritizing it and doing it well.
But even beyond just prioritizing it, like, let's say somebody has a sleep tracking data of some kind.
Yeah.
They're waking up multiple times throughout the night. But if they have a view, if they wake up in the morning and believe that they got restorative sleep, is that going to affect the way that they feel throughout the day in terms of energy levels? Or is the objective data more important than the way they think about it?
Now we're stepping into something that we really talk about with athletes all the time. So, for example, with athletes, and usually the inverse is because most of them are doing a lot of sleep dragging. And what I advise is not to look at their daily results and look at a 10-day period and aggregate results, and just manage that you are running at a good pace, logging in your REM sleep and deep sleep total over 10 days. And the reason for that is for the opposite of what you just described, is that if an athlete wakes up on game day and wow. sees that he's had bad sleep, he will have a disturbed day, concerned about his performance.
Right.
So he may have a bad day. He'll have created that environment for a bad day, bad mental day in focus, just because he believes he's looked at the data and that believes he has bad sleep, and then that will in practice give him a bad performance result. The other way around as well. And again, if you're tracking bad sleep, but you wake up and you feel great and you feel you've had great sleep, well, that could also be just a cumulative effect. You know, one bad night doesn't make one bad day. It's not a one for one, because, you know, some people carry sleep debt and some others don't. So maybe you've logged in a bad night, but you wake up feeling great. That's great. And you'll have a great day because you feel great. But generally speaking, people that are tracking bad sleep night after night are not having those great mornings.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's really interesting. It almost sounds like a self-fulfilling prophecy to some degree. Like if you
Exactly.
at it and you're like, oh, this is going to be a terrible day. And the interesting psychology of insomnia when people begin to dread going to bed. And then it becomes this catch-22 because now you're anxious about sleeping. And so then, of course, you're not going to sleep. Seems like that's also kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy to some degree as well.
Insomnia, that's a difficult one as well. That's tricky just because, generally speaking, people end up going towards other substitutes to go to sleep. So they'll try sleeping aids and sleeping pills. And the problem with that is that what they're going to do is, introduce a narcotic possibly that will give them only light level sleeps. So they're not conscious, but typically those are stimulants as well. So sleep aids get you unconscious and you think you're sleeping well, but you're on low level sleep instead of deep level and REM sleep. And that's really the key to a good night's sleep is if you're logging in 3 hours of accumulated REM and deep sleep. And all the people who are doing performing well and thriving in what they set out to do, my experience have 3 to 4 hours of REM sleep. Doesn't mean they're sleeping 8 hours a night. Because
Right.
some people can achieve it in 5.5 hours, others in six, others in seven. So we're all different. And just measuring if we're sleeping 7 or 8 hours, that's not the proper measurements because 7 or 8 hours of bad sleep is pointless. 7 hours and you've already accomplished your 3 hours of deep and REM by 5.5. Well, that extra hour and a half is actually not serving much purpose anyhow. So we're all different in the length we need to achieve those REM and deep sleep cycles. And it's just about, what we need to get there. But the key is getting those 2 cycles in, just because those cycles are the ones that allow you to physically repair, mentally repair, and get you ready for your day.
Absolutely. So, and back to the idea of mindset, what would you suggest for somebody, especially if they've got a little bit of anxiety around the concept of sleep? How do they cultivate a more positive perspective so that at least that doesn't become something that will interfere potentially for them?
Well, the mind part, that's the trickiest part, but they've gonna have to experiment with a few things. What's worked for me, and I generally don't have issues with sleeping, but I've also passed this on to a few athletes that have had anxiety, and their anxiety is often game day or tryouts. I mean, this is crazy time of year for us because we work a lot with the NHL. So now the camp started this week, next week. So all players are getting back to camp. It is an exciting time, but it's also a stressful time for people to get their spots on the team. And what I've noticed is that anticipation of sleep. So those 3 hours, again, like I said, making sure you're eating right and you're not eating close to bedtime. That can eliminate some of that anxiety, not training in that time. And one of the real keys I found that can be something is wearing blue light blocking glasses. That really takes away a lot of that stimulation, and that's a great key that really prepares you to bring on that onset of sleep. Because that's the key with someone with the stress of going to sleep is that onset. Once they can, if we can get them there, then the rest should happen in their sleep environment. But it's that 1 to 3 hours prior to sleep. How are they preparing for it? And there are different types of blue light blocking glasses. They're not all the same. They've got what you typically see, a yellow lens, which is a great daytime, but then they've got red lenses, which really add a lot more strain on staying awake. And I've noticed those have been effective. I believe that natural and organic ways of doing this is the way to go. Because things that are synthetic and or chemical based usually have the opposite effect. While they may consciously knock you out, unconsciously they're not giving you the right type of sleep that you need. So whether it be aromatherapy, lighting, those are the real keys to making this transition to onset of sleep happening as smoothly as possible.
So what have I not asked you that you want to make sure you leave in our office?
The results of our study. Results of our study was actually, I guess the background behind that is that we've all since 2012 we've been constantly evaluating sleep of our athletes, of our users, and basically we've always known that we scored high. But in the idea of constantly improving what we do, about 5 years ago we started exploring with the elimination of EMF impact on the body. And EMFs is something that, again, just like toxins, you can't see them, but we know they're not good for you. EMFs, signals from Wi-Fi and data and all kinds of the streaming that we all do everywhere. We can't escape it. The satellites and the antennas are all around us. And our athletes would basically they don't want to detach from their modern conveniences, like most of us don't, right? We're here, we're on a Zoom call, and we're using all the devices ourselves. So in my studies and my working, I've realized that through the addition of quartz in our formula, specific low frequency informed quartz, we've been able to eliminate the impacts, the erratic behavior that happens in your blood cells during these transmissions. So when we launched the product, I guess it's been a year where prior to that, we only made it available to our pro athletes because they've always been on the cutting edge of what we've been working out with. But seeing that we had real evidence base, because we work with athletes, we work institutional, and we work with informed consumers. So just making something available without the evidence to back it up is something that we don't do here at Essentia. So when we had this blood test results for we made this available to everyone. So before launching it to all Essentia users, we decided to have a 10-week study with our pro athletes, where they got to it was a double-blind study, so half those players got to use the new Essentia EMF protected mattress, which just took our Essentia performance up a notch. And over a 10-week period, we saw between 20 to 60% improvement in REM and deep sleep from
That's
all players.
blocking. That's amazing.
Well, that wasn't Essentia to old Essentia. That's
Oh.
Essentia to non-Essentia.
Oh, got it. Okay, got it.
So it was not just the EMF. It's everything we do that resulted in 20 to 60% improvement in REM and deep sleep,
Got it. Amazing.
which was incredible numbers.
Quartz blocks EMF, huh? I wasn't aware of that.
Not just quartz, and it doesn't block it.
Okay.
So what it does is it creates a low level frequency.
Okay.
This low level frequency becomes a dominant frequency in the sleep area.
Oh.
So while the signals are coming in, they're not coming in on an erratic behavior. They're forced to follow an organic flow, which is the low level
Okay.
dominated by the mattress now.
Fantastic. That's really fascinating. Very cool. All right. Where can people go to learn more about you and maybe check out your products?
So we have tons of articles, tons of information on our website, myessentia.com, and as well, all our products are there. People know about us from word of mouth and our website, and that's we've done a pretty interesting job of not being a big business, but those in the know seem to know us, so we're pretty proud of that.
Awesome. Well, I will link to that in the show notes. And thank you so much, Jack. This has been great.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
You looking for a holistically minded healthcare practitioner who truly treats root cause rather than symptom suppression? Unfortunately, even in the alternative healing professions, this isn't a given. That's why I've created wholehealthdoctor.com, a resource to help connect patients to healthcare practitioners in their area who share a root cause philosophy. Alternatively, most of the practitioners listed also practice telehealth. So if there isn't anyone local to you, you can still find a great practitioner to help you regain optimal health. Go to wholehealthdoctor.com. That's whole healthdr.com, type in your location or just the specialty that you're looking for, and find the practitioner who's right for you.
Thanks for listening to Christian Natural Health. This show is run by you, so please write in with topic and guest suggestions for future shows. For more great content, subscribe to Dr. Lauren's blog at www.drlaurendeville.com or follow her on Facebook or Twitter at Dr. Lauren Deville. If you enjoyed the show, don't forget to share it with your friends and give us a 5-star rating in iTunes. It really helps us to stand out so other people can discover great content as well. Have a great week and God bless you.
Hey everybody, I'm Dale.
And I'm Tamara.
We're hosts of the Kynos Project podcast,
where we help you tackle ancient Christian truths in everyday settings.
To learn more and subscribe, go to lifeaudio.com.